Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
It's been like 3 weeks, Sid, since we've been recorded in this fashion. I mean, we missed a week last week. The week before that, we recorded across from each other, which is kind of strange. Yeah. Across the states, I should say.
That's true. Yeah. That was unusual.
It was unusual. Hey, Sid, have you ever recorded an episode of Sawbones before?
What?
Just answer.
Yes.
Hey, Sid, have you ever... I'm just going to ask you again. Hey, Sid, have you ever recorded an episode of Sawbones before?
Yes.
Hey, Sid, have you ever recorded an episode of Sawbones before on weed?
I don't know. Is that really... Is that going to be the... Can we not?
Jon Stewart, half-baked. Amazing. Amazing performances. This has been... Great performances on PBS, starring Jon Stewart as the guy from Half Baked who asked if you'd done everything on weed.
We've already done a whole episode on medical marijuana, so you may be confusing some of our listeners.
Well, it's because I'm on weed, Sid.
You're not.
I'm on a lot of weed.
No.
And so I'm a little mixed up, a little loopy, no. Little cuckoo in the head, you say.
Do you want to share what you... So Justin is prone to self-experimentation. He likes to try new things.
You got to try new things because it might help your anxiety. That's what Daniel Tiger says.
So what have you been dabbling in lately, Justin?
So the thing that I've been sort of messing around with is CBD oil, which stands for cannabis buds. Oil.
No, cannabidiol. Nope.
And we were at the health food store, and I guess it should have been a tip off because we were at... this new health food store in Huntington, and we were like making fun of like all kinds of whack stuff that was in there that we'd seen on Sawbones, that we covered on Sawbones. Like, this is whack, this is made up, this is stupid, this is whack. And then there was, as we were checking out, I got something at the counter. What is it that I had to get? It was like
Charlie wanted something.
She saw something pink there, and so I was buying it. And then I saw CBD oil at the counter, and I'd heard that was like good for anxiety. So I was like, for some reason I forgot that everything else in the store was made up and thought like, maybe this will do it. So I bought this dropper of CBD oil, and I said, can I have some CBD oil, please? And he had this whole display, and he was like, which one? And I was like, I actually don't have any.
The one everybody likes?
I put no
really
thought into this.
The popular one?
What's the, they just opened, so they don't even know what the popular one is. I just like got one at random that was peppermint and looked like regular. I thought I was playing with some pretty strong forces, and I didn't want to get into like the deep stuff because it was weed, and I was afraid.
Was there one that was called the deep stuff?
No, it's called I think there was a maximum strength, if memory serves, and I did not want to get into
the
that
deep stuff, the dank stuff, the double strength stuff.
The good stuff.
Can I have the double stuff?
I thought I was going to get arrested, so I was trying to be quick. And also, I didn't talk about it. I was afraid I was going to get arrested by the wife doctor police.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know that I was buying it. I was afraid you'd make fun of me.
I didn't. I was looking at I was like, well, it's unfortunate that we have this store that has so many fake products in it. But then they also had some good vegan foods for when my sister comes into town. So I was perusing
those while I was getting hooked on weed. Hooked on the good dank stuff.
Justin, do you know what you bought?
Okay. Kidding aside.
You know what it is.
Because I'm not that much of a dunce. As I understand it, it is a oil that is made as a byproduct of cannabis that in and of itself has no psychotropic qualities.
That is correct. It is one of, there are like 113 cannabinoids in hemp, in marijuana, and it's one of them. And it's not THC. THC is what makes you high. And cannabidiol does not. So it's not, have you thought you've been high on it? That's a great question. Let's start with that. Do you think, were you thinking you were high?
No.
Because you're not.
I don't think I did think I was high.
All right. Well, we've eliminated.
We're having a little bit of fun.
All right. Well, just making
for
sure.
For the show. No, I mean, you let me know when you're ready for me to talk about my experiences with it.
Do you want me to go through the evidence first, or do you want to talk about your experience?
It might be easier for me. Actually, you know what? It might be better for me if I talk about sort of my perspective on it, because I feel like I might be too embarrassed after you tell me.
Okay.
I did a cursory.
It's not as bad as you think, but go ahead.
I did a cursory Google, and what I did find was, I think I found like a study. I thought I found a study that it was helpful with anxiety. I saw a lot of anecdotal evidence, which I know. I'm not saying that I was. That's like be all end all, but I saw a lot of anecdotal evidence from people who are like, whatever. And the thing that I do believe about like cannabis and hemp and anything like that is an offshoot of that, along with a lot of things. There's one, not going to be a ton of research done into it because there's not a lot of money in it. And two, there is going to be all research is going to be sort of hampered, even in this case, by the connection with marijuana. And I think that. I've even seen some states that are like making it illegal, and I don't know why you would do that if there wasn't something to it. But anyway, I've been kind of experimenting, like I said, kind of doing the standard dose, whatever they said to do on the bottle. I drop like 15 drops out of an eyedropper under my tongue of this peppermint flavored oil, and I would say
is it like that, once a day,
Mm-hmm. And I would say that it is not extremely pronounced. But, and again, it may be placebo, but I do feel like I have a slight mellowing of my mood when I have taken it. And I forgot it when we went on our book tour, and I felt like I was a little more stressed out. Now, it was a very stressful kind of whirlwind travel experience, so that could be stressful. And then after that, we were on vacation, which was, well, less stressful than the book tour was. So there's obviously some mitigating factors there. But that has been my experience with it. It is not so pronounced where, like, if I haven't taken it in the morning. And I've been doing it, I think, like 3 weeks or so. And it's not so, like, if I haven't taken it in the morning, I suddenly am like, oh, my God, I'm freaking out. Why? So it's like that has not been my experience. But I think there is it feels like there is a slight difference, and I may be wrong.
Do you think there is enough that it would, like, keep you from seeking out prescription drugs now? Like, if you were thinking, I might need a medication for my anxiety because it's not well controlled, that it has enough of an effect that you would no longer seek out a medication?
Only if, and this is, we've been talking a lot about this lately, I feel like, the difference of, like, your different perspectives on science, but if and only if my anxiety was very well controlled by the real or placebo effect that this oil was having. If it was doing the job where I didn't feel like I needed to seek out more stuff, then I probably wouldn't. I have used, like, I still have, like, my medication that I have taken for it.
Okay.
So I would, if it was, you know, severe enough, like, I think
so
people.
You're taking the pragmatist approach.
Yes.
If it works, it works. Okay.
But I'm not saying that it does work. I'm taking the Justin approach that, like, it seems to have worked a little bit. Mm-hmm. It may be a placebo effect. I'm not lying to myself.
So, I don't think you're lying to yourself.
That's right.
Let me start with that. But I think that
I'm very easy to fool, so I would know if I was lying to myself.
No, we've done a whole episode on medical marijuana, and I think a lot of the points that we made on that episode are gonna be repeated in this context. So cannabidiol was discovered at first in 1940, and it was originally thought to be inactive. It was just, here's another component of marijuana.
We found weird, huh?
We found a lot of these. They're not the THC one. They don't matter. That was the original thought. It, as you said, it does not have a psychotropic effect. You don't get high from it, which is why it's kind of odd. You're right. A lot of states have banned any derivative of hemp. So
right. They don't want to get into the research and do the research. So
which is odd in the sense that if it truly is just the cannabidiol, it doesn't, it's not a drug.
Right.
It's not psychoactive. So I'm not sure the purpose, but I'd say is more related to the fact that this is not well regulated. You don't know what you're getting. I don't know. It would be, this episode would be even better if I could say at the end of it that I took your bottle to a lab and had it analyzed to see if there actually is CBD in it. If so, how much? And some actually have been found to contain THC, but that I'm getting.
Well, that was going to say that that's probably easier. It probably wouldn't be no great shakes to be like to slip some THC in there and just kind of like use that as a distribution system, I guess.
Or to not have it have CBD at all.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh, interesting.
So it's been proposed as a medication for anxiety. It's also been investigated for pain, for multiple sclerosis, for cancer, for epilepsy, which we're going to get into, which is very interesting. And there are some now like FDA-approved uses for it. Mm-hmm. So very, very recently. If we'd done this episode 6 months ago, I wouldn't be able to say that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So when we get into like the history, there's not a lot of history of CBD because that's independent from the history of marijuana. And we've done a whole episode on that. So I don't want to belabor that point. But marijuana compounds, whether they contain THC or not, have been used as medications for thousands of years, right? We accept that like it dates back to an ancient Sumerian text from 2900 BCE that people were using marijuana. Its introduction in the West is probably from the early 1800s. That's when we started seeing like marijuana used for various purposes in the West. And you could go into like the different strains of marijuana that were used. Was there more THC in those? Was there more CBD? Because that's a lot of the talk now. You can breed it so that there's higher proportions of CBD to THC. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's been used for a very long time for things like pain and appetite stimulation and nausea. And even in like the 1840s, you started seeing it mentioned as something for like anxiety and other psychiatric disorders, and also for seizures and that kind of thing. It was part of the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, like the list of accepted medications to treat everything from psychiatric things like depression to insomnia to tetanus to muscle spasms to all kinds of different things. And that was all the way up until the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906. And that's when you start to see like the decline of the use of marijuana. And at that point, it was being prescribed for many different things. But that started to regulate it. And then finally in 1970, it was made a Schedule I narcotic in the United States. And at that point, of course, the Schedule I drugs are drugs that supposedly have no medical accepted medical uses.
Yeah.
And so if something is a Schedule I, that prevents us from, you know, using it as a medication. What it also does is prevent us from, you know, doing experiments with it on people.
Kind of weird, isn't it? It's because it's like it doesn't have any, but if it does, we will never find out. It's kind of silly.
In order to put something as a Schedule I, it really should mean, I mean, it really should be something that we know
it's
doesn't.
It's mislabeled.
It's mislabeled. And we talked about that on the medical marijuana episode. I really feel like CBD and medical marijuana in general, marijuana has no business as a Schedule I. I mean, it's listed as the same as heroin or cocaine. I mean, it's not the same thing. And I think we all know that whatever your feelings are on recreational use of marijuana, I think we can all agree that it's misscheduled.
You just said that on a podcast. Now you're going to have to resign as Surgeon General. President Bartlett won't let you because you do a good job.
That was a great episode. Yeah. No, I'm not going to get into the recreational use of marijuana because I think there are a lot of, I mean, that's a lot more. That's not medicine. And I'm a doctor.
I get into it on my show, Weed Zone, where I talk about all the recreational times I've had on marijuana.
You can talk about it as much as you want, okay. But I'm just going to get into the medical stuff.
I'm actually out of stories now.
I will leave it a mystery whether I am pro or con, although most people could probably figure that out.
Yeah.
Much has been made of the medical potential of marijuana, and this was usually linked to THC. But we have, over time, begun to engineer strains of, like I said, marijuana that have more CBD. And so we're investigating the potential of just the CBD, because the thought is maybe you're somebody who has any one of the disorders I've named and you are interested in marijuana because other conventional therapies haven't worked for you, but you don't want to get high.
Right.
You don't like the feeling of being high. You're not interested in the psychotropic effects. But if there are some sort of medicinal properties, you are interested in that. And then CBD comes in because there has been some evidence that perhaps CBD alone could help with certain
helpful.
Things. Right.
Right.
Products that contain CBD can range from like actual strains of marijuana that just have more CBD, but it's still marijuana. Mm-hmm. So you're still going to get all the psychoactive effects. Right. Okay. Two things that are like 1-to-1, like compounds that are 1-to-1 THC and CBD, two pure CBD oil products,
okay,
which should not make you high. How does it work is a big question. So we've removed the THC, so you're not just getting high. And that was the thought for a lot of people, right? Like, does marijuana just help with pain or anxiety or whatever because you're high?
Right.
And so now you don't care? Well, obviously not if CBD helps, because CBD doesn't get you high. So how would that work? There are certain receptors in your brain that are actually, like, we've labeled them as cannabinoid receptors. CB1, mm-hmm. CB2, different receptors.
And would those even be in there if we weren't supposed to be doing marijuana? Think about it.
Certainly,
why would the Lord in all his infinite wisdom have put receptors in there for weed if we're not supposed to do weed?
Certainly other things could bind and do bind to these receptors, but also this.
Stumped.
At the centrally located CB1 receptors, the way that CBD works is to delay the breakdown of something called anandamide. And that is a substance that acts at these receptors to like calm your brain.
Okay.
It calms down neuronal activity in your brain. It can also help to reduce pain and inflammation. And as a result of it calming that, or as a result of delaying the breakdown of this substance that calms your brain, then you have a longer calming effect. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
This is similar to how like an SSRI, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor,
mm-hmm.
that's like Prozac or another antidepressant. Mm-hmm. It's similar to the way they work on serotonin. They keep the serotonin around longer. Think about it that way. This keeps the anandamide around longer. So CBD is indirectly keeping this calming effect in your brain longer.
Okay.
That's one way we think it works. It also acts on CB2 receptors, which help to reduce pain and inflammation.
Which help you enjoy the movie CB2 starring Chris Rock.
What movie is that?
CB4. We're not there yet.
Oh, no. I don't know about those receptors.
Okay.
And in addition, high amounts of CBD have been found.
I have a lot of CB4 receptors. Let me just put it that way. It's a good flick.
In addition, high amounts of CBD have been found to bind to serotonin receptors.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that serotonin is that is how we have chosen to address a lot of anxiety and depression through medications already. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
So we have a lot more literature on CBD in like the last 10 years. So a lot of our Sawbones episodes are old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the history is kind of being written on CBD right now. We're in the midst of...
This is the history has its eye on our CBD research.
Well, it's true. We had, you know, some thoughts that maybe it would help with, like I've said, anxiety, depression, with sleep, with nausea. At the 2015 International Cannabinoid Research Society 25th Annual Symposium,
mm-hmm.
they reported that the use of CBD can be beneficial for a whole bunch of different things. Kidney fibrosis, inflammation, metabolic syndrome, overweight and obesity, anorexia, osteoarthritis, all kinds of musculoskeletal conditions. And again, this is all like preliminary evidence that people are suggesting. Some of this is... in vitro, some of this is in vivo. And that's kind of where I would start to get a little, I don't want to say suspicious. I'm not skeptical of it. I'm just not as excited maybe as some people are. A lot of this is in vitro, which means we are watching the way CBD interacts with different parts of your body under a microscope, like in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it bound to these receptors. But what does that mean clinically? What will that do in a human, in a living, breathing human body? what will it do?
Are you asking me or is that rhetorical? Because I don't.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, they don't either. I mean, okay, that's the problem.
Imagine
and that's the thing. Like, an in vitro study is great. That's a first step. But then until you put it in humans, you can't draw conclusions. You can say that things look compelling. There's a correlation. This is interesting. This deserves further research. Absolutely. But so far, clinical data that actually proves this stuff is still lacking. We just haven't done it yet. So, and I'm going to say this a lot in this episode so that I try to avoid a lot of angry emails. I'm just saying we need more research.
Right.
I'm not saying that the answer is no, but I'm not saying the answer is yes either for a lot of these claims.
But you're not saying it's no.
I'm not saying it's no.
But you're not saying it's yes.
But the excitement about the possibility of CBD, I think, has far outstripped the evidence for its efficacy at this point.
Right. It got, let's say, I think it's fair to say that CBD has gotten a pretty good bump from its cousin THC.
Yes.
in like building buzz.
It's riding the coattails,
yeah,
of THC. And there are products that contain CBD all over the U.S., not just oils like you bought, but there are like energy drinks and energy bars and coffee that also has CBD and tea made out of CBD. I mean, like, there's all kinds of different ways to consume CBD. And the problem with that is that right now, nobody's quite sure how to regulate this stuff. And so you don't know what you're getting. Some of them might not actually contain any at all. And even if they do, the bioavailability, which means the amount that you can actually absorb after you eat it, after you take it in your mouth, is only like, depending on the preparation, somewhere from 13 to 19%. Ideally, it can be much less in some preparations. So if you're only getting that much, is there enough in your energy drink to even do anything?
I don't know.
Maybe not. A study from the Netherlands collected homemade and store-bought CBD products and then just analyzed them to see what was in them. And they found that they didn't consistently contain any CBD, nor did the amounts present coincide with what was printed on the label, which what they said was supposed to be present in them. And what's even more concerning is that there were reports last year in Utah of a CBD oil or of an oil compound that was being marketed as CBD that was actually a synthetic cannabinoid. And we have talked about the dangers of synthetic marijuana mm-hmm. on the show before, and it was resulting in seizures and hallucinations, and a lot of patients were being hospitalized because the stuff they were getting wasn't CBD at all.
Okay.
So this is why I think some of this excitement is dangerous, is because there are all these products to, you know, to try to make money off of this excitement, but
it kind of reminds me of vaping a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, this thing popped up and it's kind of a miracle, and everybody, let's all just get like waist deep in it.
Yes.
Without really knowing. And because like, one, there's a lot of positive feedback, and two, like, we don't know what it does.
Yes.
We have no idea.
No, we don't know what it does. And as I've mentioned, we are federally prohibited from doing a lot of studies to find out more.
Mm-hmm. So what does it work for?
Well, I'm going to tell you what it does work for. But first, Justin, let's go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for
the mouth. I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion, thanks to Quince. Now, I know that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you. But when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day, not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones.
So there's a lot of stuff that medical TV shows can get wrong, but I know one of the most disappointing things for me when I started practicing is how uncomfortable conventional scrubs can be. They don't necessarily fit all body shapes really well, and they're scratchy. And that's until I found Figs. So our shifts in the hospital can be really long, or in the office, and you need scrubs that feel good, that fit you well, and they're going to last all day long. Figs make scrubs for the medical professionals of today. They're not like a paper bag. They're not itchy. They feel great. They're so soft and comfortable. They're form-fitting. They're made for the kind of work that we actually do, where we're up and down, we're on our feet. Sometimes I'm sitting on the exam room floor checking out somebody's toenails, and I need to be comfortable while I'm doing it. They're antimicrobial, so you know that you're going to be protected. You can wash them every time you wear them, which is super important. I wash my scrubs, obviously, every day that I wear them. And they look good, so you can look like those cute TV docs and nurses that that made us go into medicine in the first place. You can check out tops like the Katarina and the Cade pants. It's an easy, relaxed fit, and then so many cargo pockets, which I can tell you that's the main thing we need, are pockets for our pens, pockets for our notebooks, pockets for my Narcan, pockets for everything. I love Figs. They are so comfortable. And with the work that I do, kind of unconventional out in the street medicine, I need something that feels good all day long. With back to school season upon us, it's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or if you're shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, FIGSRX.
All right, Sim.
All right.
I'm ready.
You want me to tell you what it's going to
justify for? My preconceived notions.
Well, I'm not going to justify it, but I'm going to tell you some things that are interesting. There are at least some studies that have suggested that perhaps it can be helpful for some of the pain that can be related to multiple sclerosis. They believe that in Canada and Sweden, where a medication, Sativex, which also contains THC, is prescribed for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
So there is at least enough evidence that they're willing to prescribe it. Notably in the U.S., and this is probably where most people have heard of it recently, epilepsy. So as of June, the FDA approved a CBD-based drug for epilepsy. That's kind of huge.
Is that saying that it's like, does that say it works?
I mean, the FDA
maybe
believes it.
Sid, the FDA is part of the federal government in 2018. I do not think it's a buck wild question for me to ask. Does that mean it works?
Okay. Do you want me to get into like politics and the FDA?
Not really.
I mean, like,
actually.
Yes, the FDA is a government organization, and there's lobbying. And then if you want to get into the power of the pharmaceutical industry and their ability to lobby drugs and get them through faster, that maybe there's not great studies for. I mean, like, yes, obviously all this exists. I'm not going to sit here and say if the FDA believes in it, it must definitely work. But there's got to be at least, they have standards. There has to be some evidence that it does something.
Okay.
It can't be totally fake and make it through the FDA.
Theoretically, it works. Theoretically, it's helpful, correct?
Yes.
Fair? Okay.
Theoretically, yes. This was big news. So this new medication, Epidiolex, is what
Epidiolex.
It's called. It's CBD, and it has been approved for specifically two epilepsy syndromes, Lennox-Gastaut and Dravet syndrome, which are, and it's important to know that they're approved for these syndromes. These are usually diagnosed in children. Mm-hmm. I mean, are always diagnosed in children, I should say. They're pediatric epilepsy syndromes that are very refractory to treatment. These are traditionally very difficult disorders to treat. Patients who have these syndromes may suffer from 50 or more seizures a day. So these are what we kind of consider intractable epilepsy syndromes. And so this isn't being used as like a drug of first choice among everyone who's ever had a seizure. They're using it for patients who have probably tried and failed many, many other medications, and maybe that ketogenic diet we talked about on our keto episode. Mm-hmm. So that is an FDA approved usage now. So there are at least some studies that were compelling enough that the FDA said, okay, let's give it a go for this.
Okay.
And as far as anxiety, there was a meta-analysis in 2016, which is a big study of studies. It's mm-hmm. a big like compilation of a bunch of studies.
Sounds like the best you could do, really.
Which showed that some animal studies suggest it might help with anxiety.
I'm an animal.
In humans there, I found case reports. I found very small trials. Some of them were indeed double blind trials. Like specifically, there were some things for like give a speech, mm-hmm. something you could control very easily. Something that like you have to give a speech in public and you either do it with CBD or without CBD. And with, mm-hmm. there was like a placebo that had like corn oil in it or something. And anyway, I found studies that were small, but did show some of them some statistically significant results.
I know I shouldn't get yucked out by that, but like it really yucks me out, this idea that like, oh, I got a big speech coming up. Glad I just ate a whole syringe of corn oil. Anyway, time to blow them all away. I got amped up with my not at all baffling pre-show ritual and I'm ready to go.
And everything else, we're not really sure yet. All the other things that it's claimed to be good for, we don't know. And it's hard.
Okay, Dr. McElroy, I'm going to need you to like couch that anxiety effective efficacy a little bit more. A meta study of animals, that's fine. I need you to like be judgy about it.
What does that mean
to you? I don't, because people are going to go off and they're going to be like, I got to get CBD oil. Dr. McElroy said it totally works for anxiety.
I would say what I say about a lot of things, and this isn't just the party line. This is what I truly believe. If you have untreated psychiatric disease, I would seek help from a professional. I wouldn't self-treat. I would go ask for help from a psychiatrist or a family doctor or a psychologist or a therapist or a counselor.
None of them will have the guts to give me the CBD oil I crave.
I would go talk to somebody.
They don't want to be put out of business.
I think that, yes, it is important. And I'm not saying that that's the only thing to do. And this is true not just for things like anxiety and depression. This is true for hypertension or diabetes. It's true for everything. You've got to find your own coping skills and mechanisms for managing your disease yourself. Absolutely. Which is why, like, we've talked before about things like yoga or meditation or, you know, some of the different techniques you've learned to help you cope with your anxiety that I think are very important. And so I don't
always have the time for this. Sometimes I just want to squirt some wool in my mouth and get on with my day, Doc.
I accept that CBD could be part of that for some people, but the problem, and I guess this depends on, Justin, you and I have been talking a lot about if you're a pragmatist or an empiricist. I guess it depends on if it matters to you if something really, really works and can be proven in a lab to work, or if it seems to work and so that's good enough for you. Success is that it appears to work and you don't need to know the truth. I guess that's what it matters. So far, I will tell you this, it does not, if it is in fact CBD, which you can't guarantee if you're buying a supplement, what you're taking might not be CBD.
Okay, the guy behind the counter seemed pretty
reliable. What you're taking may contain zero CBD.
Okay.
So if we theorize that what you're taking and anybody else is getting is actually CBD, it's probably a low risk thing to do.
Yes.
I found a study actually that specifically said that, like, they were trying it out for Crohn's disease to see if it would help with Crohn's. And they said, no, it doesn't help, but it didn't harm anyone. it seemed to be a safe but not effective thing.
A safe, ineffective treatment for Crohn's.
Yeah. There are side effects to it. You can have some stomach upset. You can have some sedation. And especially if it also is found to contain some THC, but you can be drowsy. But generally speaking, the side effects are fairly minimal, so it's usually tolerated really well. It's fairly safe to try most of the time. But again, I can't tell you what you're taking. Like, I can't tell you what you're getting if you're buying it from a supplement place. And this is concerning because it is marketed to at-risk population, kids with these intractable epilepsy syndromes are being marketed this product that is not well controlled and may work some
you could
for
also,
some people.
You could also vape it. Which
yes.
To me, speaking of.
Yeah, I didn't get into that. Yeah, you can consume it in oil, you can inhale it. There are different preparations of cannabidiol that are available. It's being marketed to the elderly for things like Parkinson's or dementia or Alzheimer's. And then all of the complex fatal diseases always, like anything that's new, I feel like gets proposed for things like cancer, you know, things that can be terminal, things like multiple sclerosis, people who feel like, well, may feel like at some point that they're out of options. And so they are more likely to be desperate and turn to these things. And that always makes, I think, any of us a little skeptical, a little suspicious. The regulation is a big problem because of conflicting federal and state laws, right?
Right.
Marijuana is a Schedule I drug.
Oh.
But there are states where it's legal.
Right, yeah.
So so this gets into really murky, like, legal waters as to who is in charge of this. Who's going to make sure that what you're buying is what you think it is? The federal government says it's all legal, so what the heck? The FDA just approved a CBD.
Right.
So... also, is it a food supplement or is it a medicine?
I don't know.
If you're buying it over the counter and it's a food supplement, then it can be safe until proven otherwise. If it's a medicine, we go the opposite route. It's unsafe until we can prove otherwise. Fair. So this really matters. And you just don't know what you're getting when you buy it over the counter. I should know, we kind of talked about this for Lennox Gesto and like the use of it for epilepsy syndromes. The study that I got into, like the study that the FDA used to approve this, and I would not say it was a slam dunk for efficacy. I would not say that it was like the miracle drug.
Why is that?
There were a couple things. One, it was absolutely funded by the drug company, which, I mean, to be fair, most of the big giant double blind studies that prove a medication work are. So that's, I mean, full disclosure, it is. But they made the only available, like, CBD preparation so far for this, the only like FDA regulated CBD thing. So they are providing a drug in a market where there is no competition.
Right.
When you make an orphan drug, a drug for an orphan disease, so something that there's nothing else for, you can keep it on patent longer. It's more lucrative. I'm not saying that means it doesn't work. I'm just saying these are things you deserve to know the whole story, I think. And when you get into like the politics of the FDA, this stuff comes in to play. And it's important to note too, in that same study, 23% of the patients that received CBD had side effects significant enough that they dropped out of it. And I don't I don't mean that anything bad necessarily happened to them. Like, I don't mean to say it's dangerous, but it at least made them uncomfortable enough.
What strength were they using? You know,
Strong dose. They think it was probably not the dose alone. It was in the study. Nobody was using it as monotherapy. Nobody was using it as a single agent. They were using it in combination with other epilepsy drugs. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ways they think it might work. Actually, I was going to get into that. Is that it prevents the breakdown of other, it works on certain enzymes that break down other epileptic drugs. Mm-hmm. And so by preventing the breakdown of these anti-epileptic drugs, it actually lets them last in your system longer, which might, one, make them more effective, but two, make you drowsier. And so that's why a lot of people dropped out, is because the kids who were on the medication were really drowsy. Mm. And so they took them out of the study. Some of the results, while they looked very promising, didn't actually ever reach statistical significance, which means even though it trended towards working, you couldn't actually say, scientifically speaking, that the differences weren't just from chance.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So there is a follow-up study to this to try to kind of refine, because that's what you always do. If you have a study that suggests something, you want to do more studies to try to see if it's true, you know, to reproduce the results, that kind of thing. And this one was a little concerning to me because there was a mention that there were certain patients that were handpicked and referred by one neurologist who was very convinced that CBD was the best way to go. And so he was finding patients whose like parents were going to go like move to Colorado and get CBD oil no matter what. And so he was putting them in this study instead. So you're taking people who already believe CBD works and then giving them CBD and asking them if it works.
It kind of buys your sample size.
It does. It does. There's a, and I mean, these are the, this isn't a random sample. These are selected by, specifically.
Right. By people who.
Yeah. And they're seeing high placebo response in these studies.
From people who think they've got the real stuff and they, because they believe in the.
Because they already were going to use CBD even before they got into the study. Mm. So they believe, they've bought the hype. They believe it worked even before we saw whether or not it did.
So they might as well.
The other thing, and I was reading some neurologists critiquing this, and I think that's the thing you need to know. Like, as doctors, I don't have a horse in this race. I don't make money off CBD, and I don't make money off anti-epileptic drugs, so I am not in either camp. A lot of neurologists, their responses I thought were very, it was kind of moderate. Like, well, if this is a medication that works, great. If it doesn't work, let's not use it. But we got to take the emotion out of it. Mm-hmm. The all this passion for it really has no place in science. You'd study it. Let's study it and see if it works. And we have some evidence that says, you know what, this might actually be helpful for patients with these very severe chronic, can be very debilitating, you know, epileptic disorders. So let's try it, but let's not get carried away, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's what we would say about literally any other medication, right? Yeah. There might be better ways to target these receptors. We found them. We know CBD works. Maybe there's something we can make that works even better. Mm-hmm. Why are we settling for this if it works a little?
Yeah.
You know, just because it's marijuana and that makes us excited and we think the government doesn't want us to have it.
It's buzzy.
Yeah. I mean, that's something to ask about. And it's also, you know, it's important to remember that like a lot of the people who are using this medication are, they're desperate. They're desperate for anything.
Right.
And so that might change the results a little bit, which I guess it doesn't matter. If the patient is doing better from the perspective of the caregiver, does it matter whether it's true or not? I don't, you know. This is not a cure-all. It might help some patients. It won't help all of them. There are some who might be harmed by it. Again, I think minimally harmed, but might be harmed. This is true of every medicine. The CBD is not unique. I could have said that about literally any medicine I prescribed ever in my career. But that just means that it doesn't make it something special. And I think that's probably like the end of this conversation. The point is, there is no place for zealotry in science. It either works or it doesn't. And if it works, we should use it. And if it doesn't, we shouldn't. We should be able to study it. And again, I return to, if marijuana was not a Schedule I drug, we would know a lot more about what it does and doesn't do. And we wouldn't have to have, I mean, when you try to research CBD, you have to sort through just pages and pages of people who are advocates for it without any evidence.
Right, right, right.
When you said anecdotal evidence, I was thinking about the idea of that term. Why is anecdote ever evidence? It's anecdote.
It's all, it is sort of like a paradoxical.
I mean,
saying like it can't, yeah.
Yeah, to my mind, evidence is evidence, and if this stuff works, we should make it available. It should be regulated so that you get what you think you're getting, so that we know that what's in that dropper that you're using is in fact CBD.
That is troubling for sure. No matter where you stand on it, you should want this to be, you know, whatever. You should mm-hmm. at least want to know that you're getting what you think you're getting.
We should have endless room for evidence within the world of science. We should always be willing to explore and search. And if marijuana and CBD specifically have these great therapeutic possibilities, then let's study them. Let's figure out what they are, and let's find a safe, effective way to give them to people. If they don't, though, then I think you got to give it up and move on. And I think that's where we're running into a wall, is that, you know, I found people who were advocating its use to cure cancer.
Yeah, see, you lose me.
exactly. You've lost me too, because I, you know, if you're telling me there's some great studies that suggest maybe for epilepsy and for anxiety, and I saw some things for PTSD and for insomnia, and again for maybe pain and for nausea, I think all that stuff merits further study. Let's do some good studies and see if it works or not. But once you start making claims that it is the miracle cure-all that will fix all of your problems,
well, we all know how that shakes out.
You're standing with every other charlatan in history who's just been trying to make money off of the desperate.
Folks, that's going to do it for us this week on Sawbones. We got some affiliate links on our website where you can order CBD oil. Let us get a cut of the profits. And
no, don't say that.
Well, it's a side biz I've been looking into.
no, we don't.
We've got a lot of great flavors. Vape it. Don't vape it. It's up to you. Everything we have can be vaped and not vaped simultaneously. thank you to the taxpayers for letting us use the song Medicines. This is the intro and outro of our program. We got a book coming out in October, October 9th specifically. We've actually had the first call it an advanced reader copy of that book, and it is so neat, and we're so excited about it. Sydney's sister, Taylor Smurl, did the illustrations, and they're beautiful, and you can get pre-order that right now. It is such a big help. Pre-orders are huge because they're counted in the first week book sales, and that is a huge determining factor as to whether or not you get to make more books. So please, please take a moment and pre-order. Go to bit.ly/thesawbonesbook and pre-order it right now. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I think we both do.
We're really proud of this book, and I think you'll really like it.
I think you'll like it if you like our show. And honestly, if you know somebody that doesn't like our show but likes like medical trivia, and weird old medical stuff, get it for them, because there's
just trivia. I always think this is the kind of book like for that person who just likes to know things that nobody else knows.
Yeah, I learned a lot writing it. I think we both did. So, but folks, that is going to do it for us for right now. So, until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.